Support for Tested comes from Duke Health, reminding listeners that COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and can protect individuals and others from the virus. Together, communities can end this pandemic. Find sites for a free vaccine at dukehealth.org. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and across the South. I'm Celeste Gracia. The longleaf pine is an iconic tree species in North Carolina. It once covered 90 million acres across the southeastern U.S., but today, less than 5 million acres remain. For decades, the tree was chopped down for timber. It was also used for its resin, which coated the hulls of 18th century ships and drove the shipbuilding economy. Today's forest owners aren't cutting down longleaf pine to waterproof wooden boats. Their choices are a little bit more complicated than that. They can still clear cut and sell for timber. They can also leave the tree standing and collect and sell the pine needles. But growing research offers another potential incentive. Longleaf pine is especially resilient to climate change. For the last 20 years, scientists and advocates have been working to restore the longleaf ecosystem, and it's a system that can endure climate disturbances very well.
The forests provide all sorts of services in terms of our water quality and our water quantity and our resiliency to storms. And for longleaf pine, especially a habitat like what we're here visiting today at Weymouth Woods that's maintained with a prescribed fire, they're also have that added benefit of reduced risk for wildfires. So that's a really important way that they create resiliency, because we know that with the changing climate, there are more opportunities for those wildfires.
On a rainy day, I met Sarah Crate at Weymouth Woods Nature Preserve in Southern Pines. She works with the Longleaf Alliance, a national organization dedicated to managing and restoring longleaf pine forests.
The whole ecosystem thrives with that prescribed fire. But it's not just the fire aspect that creates it a more resilient tree. Initially, longleaf pine grows in that grass stage where they're not growing up, but they're growing down. And that focus of energy in the root system creates a sturdy, stable tree. So that in wind events, you know, such as things as hurricanes, they are not as susceptible to wind damage compared to some other pines. No tree's immune. Again, the longleaf pines can and do perish in hurricane force winds, but generally they have more ability to withstand some of those really strong wind events.
And like wildfires, experts say those really strong wind events will only become more severe and more frequent as climate change continues. To learn more about longleaf's resiliency, I talked to Stephen Brantley, an ecohydrologist at the Jones Center in Southwest Georgia. He's worked on several research articles about longleaf pines and their role in today's changing climate. We first talked about how longleaf helps manage water by increasing runoff to streams and rivers and recharging groundwater. I asked him how all of that starts.
So basically, if you think about the hydrologic cycle, you have inputs and outputs. Your input in the southeast is precipitation, and then your outputs are anything that either vegetation uses through for physiological mechanisms like growth, or any precipitation that hits a plant surface or an impervious surface or a building and evaporates back to the atmosphere. So it's really just a matter of balance between inputs and outputs. And so if you have an ecosystem like longleaf pine that tends to use less water, that means more of that precipitation is left over to get into your streams and rivers and wetlands and into groundwater.
And so with climate change changing, all the extreme weather events that we have, whether it's a bunch of rain coming at once or a very long drought, what benefits can longleaf pine trees offer in regards to water yield?
From the research we've done, we can see that longleaf doesn't really have a negative impact on the flooding, but what you do get is a forest that uses less water overall, but maybe more importantly, a forest type that uses less water when water's scarce. So if you have, say, a cornfield and you irrigate, you tend to use more water when water's scarce. So you use more water when there's a drought, when water is already getting in short supply. What longleaf pine does typically is it can reduce its water use during periods of scarcity and increase its water use when water is plentiful. Whether that's a typical drought year or longer, more severe droughts from climate change, longleaf tends to balance its water use against what the climate is providing it at the time.
And do other trees also do this, or is longleaf unique in this aspect?
Pines typically tend to be a little bit more water use efficient than a lot of hardwood species. The issue that you get into with comparing different pines to each other is the way they're managed. Longleaf tends to be managed as more of a woodland or savanna type, so less dense, fewer trees on the landscape, more herbaceous ground cover. Whereas some of the other pines like loblolly pine or slash pine are grown more in a plantation setting. So they're managed for productivity. They're grown more densely, and the more trees you have, the more water you're going to use. So yeah, there's a benefit overall to pines, but the structure and characteristics of longleaf give it an edge even amongst the pines.
And because the forest area is not as dense, that just goes back to increasing the water that goes downstream.
Right. The fewer trees you have, the less water you're going to use, all else being equal.
And can we also talk about that the restoration could also help increase groundwater recharge? What is groundwater recharge, and why is that important?
You know, the very basic, simple definitions in watersheds tend to focus on stream runoff, but in some watersheds, including the one I'm sitting in right now, all the water that hits the land doesn't necessarily run off in the stream. Some of it percolates straight down into what are called aquifers. And so aquifers are basically underwater lakes, otherwise known as deeper groundwater. And so it's a very important longer-term storage reservoir for water than streams and rivers.
How can longleaf pines help increase groundwater recharge? How does that work?
Basically the same formula. If you reduce evapotranspiration, you get runoff, but instead of water running off the landscape in streams and rivers, it just goes straight down in the groundwater.
Another important aspect of the longleaf, or all trees actually, is carbon sequestration. Brantley gave me a quick refresher on what that is.
Carbon sequestration is a way that land managers especially are looking at using forests to help mitigate climate change. Climate's changing. A big part of that is greenhouse gases, and the most common greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide. Well, plants take in carbon dioxide. Plants actually use carbon dioxide as one of the foundational components of photosynthesis. So in theory, the more plant growth you have in an area, the more carbon dioxide you're taking in, the more carbon sequestration you have.
And so do longleaf pines sequester more carbon compared to other pine trees? Do they have like a high percentage of carbon sequestration?
You know, it really depends on the scale you look at in terms of time. Longleaf is more like the marathon runner in that it sequesters carbon over a longer period of time, and it's less likely to lose that carbon. If you compare longleaf directly to very dense pine plantations or to some other hardwood type forest, it actually sequesters quite a bit less on an annual basis. Runners are a good sort of analogy for this. If you ask who's the fastest runner, well, are you talking about 100 meters? Are you talking about a mile? Or are you talking about 26 miles? Well, a loblolly pine plantation might be able to sequester a lot of carbon in a year. So it's like the sprinter, but longleaf over time probably has a better long-term forecast in terms of sustained carbon sequestration that's going to be resilient to climate change.
With using prescribed burning to manage the longleaf pine ecosystems, how does that play a role also in carbon sequestration?
So there's a plus side and a negative side to fire. If you're burning biomass, you're actually emitting CO2 to the atmosphere, but it helps make the system more resilient in the long term. There's a saying in forestry that you either burn now or you're going to burn later. Every forest has a natural fire return interval. In longleaf, it's very frequent. In loblolly, it might be less frequent, but eventually it's going to happen.
So it's very much just a give and take. And if we do the prescribed burning now, we will be emitting carbon, but it's going to be a lot less than if we didn't do the prescribed burns and it catches into a wildfire.
Exactly.
I feel like the very large benefit about longleaf is that, going back to your running metaphor earlier, it's very much a marathon type of tree, that it's very good for the long, long run, which, given our changing climate, can really offer a lot of pros.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's hard. I think that's an important point for people to conceptualize. I think it's easier for someone to conceptualize a forest that's going to grow a lot in a time span that they can see, so 20 or 25 years. It's harder for a person, especially a landowner, to say, we're going to get a lot of benefits over this, but it might take 100 years to really reap those benefits. But I think that's something that we need to, an area where we need to change our perceptions a little bit.
Brantley said management is a big component that makes the longleaf able to mitigate water and sequester carbon in the way it does. So what does management of the longleaf pine look like in North Carolina? I called on another expert to find out.
We've seen a huge shift in reasons people own property here in North Carolina. And we're starting to see a lot more landowners have a focus with ecological services and restoring the natural function and natural ecosystem. You know, years ago, it was all about timber production. We're seeing a lot of that change now, where we have what we call woodland retreat landowners who have a stronger interest in those ecological services, improving wildlife habitat, and restoring that natural function.
This is Phil Wallace. He works with the North Carolina Forest Service as the staff forester for silviculture, a fancier word for the growing and cultivation of trees. Wallace has a background in longleaf pine management. A lot of his work is collaborating with private landowners to make sure that management and restoration happens.
Our bread and butter, so to speak, is dealing with private landowners and helping them manage their property for their objectives. And people have a much more, much better understanding, I think, today of those ecological values that longleaf provides.
Can you talk a little bit more about the changing perspective that you're seeing private landowners have? What do you think it used to be, and what is it moving toward now?
Well, we're just seeing a huge shift in ownership. Right now, probably the baby boomers are probably the largest generation of landholders, but we're seeing a huge shift into Gen Xers and millennials who have different values than previous generations. So I think that's a lot of what's driving, I don't want to say the change in management, but the changes in how we market the management of forest and promote forestry in North Carolina.
Because you say you primarily work with private landowners, and all this information about how longleaf pines are more climate resilient, that is just one more point that you can kind of use to quote-unquote sell to the private landowners as a reason why they should invest in restoring these trees.
Yes, it just gives us another way to promote the species and the plant community. You know, we've always known as professionals that that restoring the natural function and natural ecosystem is a good thing. And that just gives us another tool to promote that and give landowners the opportunity to restore this community.
Longleaf pine managers like Wallace will keep working with private landowners to increase restoration efforts. Meanwhile, researchers like Brantley are still exploring how else longleaf pine trees are resilient to climate change. Here's Sarah Crate again for the final word.
The intersection between history and the ecology and how that has wrapped into our culture, right, is they're all intertwined. And that makes many of us longleaf pine enthusiasts, longleaf lovers, as I call them, because the trees just are charismatic.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Celeste Gracia. Thanks for listening.